Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Blintfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of pro-metabolic food supplements and seriously saturated skincare. And today I'm joined by our good friend, Kate Deering, who's been on the podcast 50 million times. Welcome back, Kate. Author of How to Heal Your Metabolism, also writing some more books, which is super exciting.
It is. Yeah. Thanks. It's been so long since we've really had time because you live 12 hours or however far.
It's really shit. It's time difference for us now, isn't it?
It is.
Like, it feels like fucking midnight.
It is. It's six. Like I told her, I go, this is way too late for me to be on a call. Or like, you're going to have to be at 6 a.m. And I'm like, oh, it's horrible.
Right.
You're going to have to move again because I'm not doing it this time
get
change
back
stuff.
To Australia, would you?
Yeah. Yeah. Even that, right? Maybe get closer to the United States. Although you probably stay away to California right now because there is a little bit of fire going on here.
How is all that going over there?
I think it's really horrible. Yeah, it's really bad. Luckily in San Diego, we haven't had any, like we get the Santa Ana winds, but we certainly haven't had anything like that LA is happening. So it's not a good situation for sure. And
so
still,
sad.
I think they kind of rev back up today. So I don't know, but I definitely have friends up there that have been affected just because they've been evacuated or you know, having other friends stay with them, so forth. But yeah, I feel for them for sure.
Yeah, it's horrible. So horrible. It's not near you, is it? Not
100. Yeah, they're about 100 miles north.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. LA is its own area for sure.
It's huge.
Yeah. But we get them too. I mean, probably since I've lived in California, I've been evacuated probably three separate times for fires. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Is it just very dry over there?
Can be. That's what happens is the weather. We've had two rainy seasons. So what happens is everything grows and then it gets really dry. Everything gets dried out and then the winds show up. And if there's any sort of fire, if it catches it, it's just
just
things will
spreads.
burn so fast, so fast for sure. Yeah. And so, and that's what happened over there. I mean, I think they had 100 mile an hour winds, fire started and it's really horrible.
Well,
So
I'm so
you
glad
never,
that, yeah.
Yeah, you never think, because anytime you're evacuated, you're always like, we'll be back, you know. And yeah, so now you're just, it's no bueno.
Well, I'm really glad that you're not close to that.
Me too.
Well, the poor people that are.
I've always, grateful every day. You got to dig that. Grateful every day.
Yeah.
And that's why it always puts you back in like, wow, you know what?
Oh, totally. No matter what shit's
so
going
grateful.
On in your life, you're like, thank fuck I'm not, my house isn't getting burned down.
100%. Yep. Grateful every day. So, you know, whatever's going on, people, sometimes you have to put things in perspective and this does it for sure.
And so we thought today the podcast, we would talk about thyroid just because Kate and I got on and we had a bit of a yarn and I got an update on her book where she's at with the book. So hoping to finish it at some point this year, which is super
sometime.
Exciting. Yeah. So if you haven't got her first book, I highly recommend getting it, How to Heal Your Metabolism. I'm really excited to get my hands on this new one.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait till I'm done with this thing.
She's like, fucking oath. But anyway, Kate had been writing a chapter on thyroid, so we just thought we would do a bit of a deep dive.
Yeah, and everyone has a thyroid.
Yeah, so let's talk about
thyroid. Is always very interesting. I think because, I think when people think, and I know I kind of wrote it in some context when they think about metabolism, you're right, because the thyroid is a big part of that, because the thyroid hormone is something that can certainly dictate how well your metabolism is functioning. So it's certainly a huge component of your metabolism, not all the components, but it's definitely involved in everything. And that's why it is so important. And I think there's a lot of maybe misunderstanding about, you know, if someone needs it, if they don't need thyroid hormone, you know, what do they have a thyroid issue? If they think their metabolism is functioning optimally, certainly as we've talked about women that are in perimenopause or menopause, you know, is that become an issue for them? There's a lot of factors, I think, that we're going to be chatting about.
All right. Well, maybe first of all, what is the thyroid gland? What does it do? Yeah, just basic 101.
It's this little butterfly or gland, or gland that's in
neck.
your butterfly shape gland in your neck. Gosh, it's late. So if I start talking gibberish, know that it's late
That's
for
why.
Kate. I've been up. But essentially what it does, it produces thyroid hormone. It produces your T3 and T4, essentially your active thyroid, which is your T3, and your thyroxine, which is T4, which that's your primary thyroid hormone. It gets communication to do that from your pituitary, which produces everyone's hormone that they're very familiar with for the most part is your thyroid stimulating hormone or your TSH, or essentially what your doctors will measure if they think you have a thyroid problem or they're just seeing how your thyroid is doing. And then that pituitary gets communication from your hypothalamus, which is essentially kind of reading your blood, and it's getting the message like, do you need more thyroid hormone? Like, what is it? And so the hypothalamus will communicate with the pituitary. Pituitary communicates with the thyroid, and then the thyroid starts producing your thyroid hormone, and then it certainly release it into the blood. And it's like the conductor of all the metabolic processes. It's going in literally all of your cells, and it works within either the nucleus, which is like where all the conducting is happening. It's basically telling your cell what to do. And it's also working in the mitochondria, which is kind of your cell's powerhouse, which is producing energy or ATP, and telling it to kind of move at a quicker space or pace space. We're going to be adding letters into our words today. Just so you know, maybe everyone, if they listen to it, are a little tired, that would also work. But it's super important, right? And you need it because it is so vital in every cell in your body, no matter what cell is, whatever their function is, it is needed. And so it is very, very important. And certainly when you're talking about metabolism, it's certainly a big part of that equation. Not the only part, but a big part of that equation. And because so many people get on thyroid hormone and, maybe they need it, maybe they don't. If you do need a thyroid hormone, it's usually because your actual thyroid isn't producing enough of the hormones. Right. And that's part of it, because just because your thyroid's producing or if it's producing enough doesn't mean it's still going to be working properly, because some people just have conversion issues. Because again, we know that the T4, your thyroxine, which is your main thyroid hormone, which is produced from the thyroid, it is inactive. So we have to still convert that for your cells to use it. Right. And so for that conversion to occur, we need these enzymes called deiodinase enzymes. And the deiodinase enzymes are supported, and they need things like selenium, iron, zinc. And that's why a lot of people that get on thyroid hormone or go to your naturopathic person, they put you on things like selenium and say, take 200 milligrams of selenium because that's going to support your thyroid. And it does, because essentially those enzymes that are needed, the deiodinase enzymes that are needed to convert your inactive thyroid to active, need selenium. So if you are low selenium, you might not be able to convert your thyroid hormone, right? If you're low zinc, you might not be able to convert your thyroid hormone. If you're low iron, you might not be able to convert your thyroid hormone. So there's other minerals that are needed outside of just iodine, right? Because iodine makes up your thyroid hormone, that we need to help this process move along. And so that's why, again, if you have these foods that have nutrition in them, they will support these functions in your body, right? And once you convert your thyroid T4 into T3, whether it's working in that area, because that T3 might work in that individual cell where it's converting, or it has to travel again and then go to places and get into the cell and then do all its magic, right? And we know thyroid hormone is basically needed for thermogenics, to make heat production, to make your digestive system work properly, for your brain health, for your muscle health. It is needed pretty much in every cell of your body. And so if someone is low thyroid, they can have a list load of symptoms because it's not working in any cells of the body, right? So you can have low digestion, you can have constipation, you certainly can have GI issues, you could have hard time having muscle mass, you can have heart issues, you could have brain issues, you could be cold all the time, you could be fatigued, you can have sleep issues. I mean, we can go on and on with everything if that is the missing component in how your body is able to produce energy to support itself.
And so can you talk, so obviously you've talked about some of the symptoms. What would be the main, like the causes or the driver that would affect the conversion, but also like how your thyroid is working? Because like we talk about stress a lot. So can you talk a bit more about that?
As far as the conversion factor,
or even just thyroid function in itself. Like people, like typically say people that come to you with low thyroid function, how are they living their life? Like what are some of the things that they're doing?
Well, if someone is truly a hypothyroid, meaning they're not producing enough thyroid, now it could become they have Hashimoto's and they have an autoimmune issue and their basically body's producing antibodies that is kind of breaking down. Either it's affecting the enzyme, like you need a thyroid, I think it's thyroid peroxidase. There's an enzyme within your thyroid that helps basically join these molecules together to help make thyroid hormone, right? So you're basically taking a tyrosine molecule and iodine and bringing them together, and you need an enzyme to do that, TPO, right? And so if something's interfering with that enzyme, that can certainly interfere with the production. And certainly if you have these antibodies, they could interfere with this production. Certainly a low iodine diet could affect how you produce thyroid. That certainly was an issue way back when, and that's why we started iodinizing all the salt, because we didn't have enough iodine. And the other problem is an excess of iodine can also produce hypothyroidism, right? It's like your body actually has a protective mechanism. If you have too much iodine, that actually will inhibit the production of thyroid, which will also produce hypothyroidism. And so that's one reason that I don't support people taking like iodine supplements, because they usually are over iodizing themselves. It's too much. And I've had a client that was taking a ton of iodine and just kept like hitting this roadblock. Like she couldn't get out of this hypothyroid state. And so we eventually just got her off. And I'm like, and lo and behold, as soon as we got her off the iodine, everything started to pick up a little bit. It was like her body was just in a protective kind of state from over iodinizing it. So we have to be really careful, because I know that's a remedy in a lot of the natural health world, is to kind of put people on these like iodine supplements. Not something I would do. I would say just eat foods with iodine in them. And seafood, dairy, great sources, right? Yeah. So if you're eating those foods, you should be... You don't necessarily, and I don't recommend iodinized salt either, because I think it's easy to overconsume even in the salt. I love that I can see your dog in the background.
That's Marley. She's sitting on the bed.
He is like, I am fine in my comfort spot.
Yeah, I don't know where Siri is. Maybe on one of the deck chairs outside, I think, relaxing. They haven't been for a walk today, so they're a bit ratty, you know. Usually I'd walk in the morning, but I had to get up early for a meeting, and then we've been having a yarn for the last hour. And like, you know, what sort of, again, like if you, like women that you've worked with that have low thyroid function, or like what, how are they living their life? Like what contributes to this?
Well, we all know like stress, right? So stress is certainly a huge factor. And what people don't understand about a high cortisol state, right? So when you initially get under stress, the initial information your thyroid is getting is produce more thyroid hormone. Like, hey, we need to produce more energy. There's more stuff going on. Let's get everything revved up via the healthy way. Like the acute state of stress, your body's going into action. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Now, if it stays in that stuff and becomes stress and it becomes more chronic, then the information is, let's go ahead and suppress TSH. So cortisol will start coming in, because now we need more immediate response, right? Now cortisol is coming and going, look, you're not bringing in enough fuel. You're dieting, you're over-exercising, you're working too much, you're running and burning the candle at both ends at this point in time. So cortisol is now coming in, because like, well, we're gonna have to try to get fuel off of you. So we're gonna break down tissue. But that same chronic state of high cortisol is now going to actually suppress your TSH. First, it's going to go elevated, right? Elevated TSH is elevating to tell your thyroid to make more thyroid. That's why it's elevating. That's the communication. Obviously, if someone in hypothyroid might have elevated TSH, because it's basically like constantly the feedback is there's not enough. And that's when someone has an actual thyroid production issue, when you start to have that elevated TSH. Like I said, I think some doctors miss is a high stress state chronically will start to actually suppress your TSH. So now you're having low or normal levels of TSH, but you're in a hypothyroid state because you need the thyroid in a sense, but your body has adaptively suppressed it because you're so stressed and your body's like, there's not enough fuel or not enough minerals, or there's not enough something coming in. So we've suppressed internal functions to try to manage all this external crap or stress that's going on in your life so that, you know, we can kind of move your energy to what we need to kind of, that you're making us do right now. And we'll keep like your vital things going. But what you end up seeing is their non-vital systems start to not work right. And those are digestion, hormonal function, right? Sleep, right? Like, yeah, we all want those and we feel a lot healthier when those are functioning, but they can get really crappy and we can still survive, right? So that's what starts happening. And if you went to your medical doctor at this point, because now you feel like you've been run over by a truck, right? And you've been, and any woman who's listening can know, like, hey, when I felt like that, it's always come from a really stressful time period where I was dieting or I was doing some sort of crazy training thing and just running myself into the ground. And they go to their doctor and their doctor does labs and they're like, maybe it's my thyroid. And they come back and they're like, everything's totally normal. Right now. And that's if, you know, usually the doctor might just check your TSH, right? And you might getting your TSH number is suppressed because you've been in this high cortisol state. So they're like, your TSH is normal. Okay. So then you go to your functional doctor and then maybe he'll do like a free T3 or a free T4 test, right? That checks your unbound thyroid hormones that are actually active. And they come back and they're like, ah, you're normal. You're low end normal. But you're normal, right? And so when you have a high stress state and TSH being suppressed by cortisol, those free T3 and free T4s will be on the very lower end of your measurements. And then if you actually get to another doctor, maybe they'll measure something called reverse T3, which is also an inactive thyroid hormone, but that will start to elevate the more stress you get. Because the other thing that happens, so your body will also make reverse T3 out of your thyroxine of your T4, but it does it under stress and it uses a different deiodinase enzyme. We call it deiodinase 3. So there's a 1, 2, and 3. So the deiodinase 3 elevates under stress. And then when it elevates, it turns more of your T4 into T3. And so you might not inherently know that that's a problem until you actually check your reverse T3 and see that that's elevated. So usually when that starts showing up, you know that that person's under a good amount of stress and that giving them something like thyroid hormone wouldn't be the right answer. It's really like, hey, we need to get you out of stress. We need to get you enough nutrition or things that are going to support the making of thyroid along with the conversion of thyroid. And then maybe, right, if that still doesn't work, though, maybe they might need some support with the medication. But I'm sure, and you've probably felt this too, usually when you can kind of mitigate some of that stress and start supporting them, things start to improve.
Yeah, so let's talk about, like, what are some of the things that you would get them to do? Like, where would you start?
So I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I wanted to quickly jump in and talk about our brand new Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge. Are you a woman over 40 who's feeling stuck when it comes to your health and your body? Maybe you've tried all the diets, you've cut carbs, you've done endless hours of cardio, and you still feel frustrated with no lasting results. You are not alone. This is so common for women in their 40s and beyond. But the good news is there is a better way. This is where the Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge comes in. Say goodbye to endless hours of cardio, restricted diets, cutting sugar, carbs, and quick fixes. And say hello to feeling strong, lean, and energized like never before. Get ready for a healthier metabolism, better sleep, balanced hormones, more energy, and sustainable fat loss. Transform your body, health, and life after 40. So this isn't just a quick fix diet or a one-size-fits-all workout plan. It's a method that combines metabolic support and body recomposition, specifically designed to help women build muscle, lose body fat, and restore hormonal and metabolic health after 40. So here's what you're going to get in the 28 days of the challenge. Custom macros and meal planning. So no more restrictive dieting or food fear. You'll learn how to set macros, adjust macros, build meal plans, and eat foods you love while fueling your body to burn fat and build muscle. We've got hundreds of structured training programs. So these are designed for busy women with simple, effective workouts that you can do at home or in the gym. Each workout is actually customizable to the equipment you have access to, and each exercise comes with a detailed video tutorial. You get daily coaching and support. So you get access to me and Craig for 28 days to help guide you every step of the way, accountability, support, encouragement, and expert advice. You get to use our incredible new strength tracker app to track your progress, complete weekly check-ins, track your food, build meal plans, and use our unique training system to ensure your technique is spot on and you're progressing week to week. You also get access to us for 28 days, so you can jump on live calls and get feedback and coaching on your check-ins, as well as access to us via our community platform to ask questions and get support. And you get lifetime access to the course materials with modules on nutrition, metabolism, and hormonal health, plus guides on setting macros, creating balanced meal plans, recipe books, meal ideas, and we're just going to teach you everything you need to know about nutrition. And here's the best part. It's just a one-time payment of $29 Australian. Plus, it comes with a money-back guarantee. So if by the end of the challenge, you're not convinced you can build muscle, lose body fat, and improve your health and hormonal issues using my method, I'll refund your money, no questions asked. This challenge isn't just about 28 days. It's about creating a sustainable lifestyle where you feel empowered to take control of your health, eat delicious food, and finally break free from restrictive diets and endless hours of training. So if you're ready to finally take control back of your body and your health, click on the link below in the show notes and join today. Let's get back to the podcast.
So, and I'm sure you do this as well. I mean, I certainly get a health history of these individuals, and then we just talk about their life because, and I kind of balance them out, right? I go, here are the things that are creating the problem. Here's all the load you get, right? Okay, you're working 60 hours a week, you got two children, you're running late and trying to cook and make everything, and you're running in 17 different directions all over the weekend. There's like no downtime here. What can we maybe take or adjust on this side of things so we can help reduce some of the stressors? Because ultimately, when your body is in a super stressed position, just throwing food at it without kind of trying to take some of the load out of it. It sometimes can help, not saying it can't, but you kind of have to take some of the load off for a bit. So we have to kind of adjust the scale and allow the system to kind of give it space to kind of now have time to kind of spend some time on yourself. So that would certainly be something that we would address, like whatever is on the side of the stress scale that we might have to remove. Then the other side of it is, okay, now we need to give you food that your body, whenever state is in, can digest and absorb and utilize the fuel and the nutrients to support. So if I'm specifically looking at possibly a thyroid issue, then some big ones are certainly making sure they have enough protein, right? Thyroid hormone is actually a protein and made from protein. So that one is certainly addressed. Then we need to make the basic nutrients, right? So certainly, are you getting enough iodine? Are you getting enough selenium? Are you getting enough zinc? Are you getting enough iron? And vitamin A is also important in that kind of metric. So I look at those nutrients. So that would normally consist of, can we get, I love using food. We all know like oysters, right? Those are a very helpful for someone that might have a thyroid issue because you are getting such a big dose of zinc. Beef liver obviously is a big one, and we know both of those work. And I know we just say this over and over again, but people sometimes need to hear it maybe 25 times to go, look, these foods have so much nutrition in them, and they that give you so much for such a little bit of food, and they can be so supportive, right? And certainly if you won't eat these foods, there certainly are supplement options, but they really will pack a big punch because they do, certainly for a thyroid, are very, very helpful. And then obviously it's getting enough carbohydrates because carbohydrates are also necessary for thyroid conversion in the liver. That's the liver's
main. And how many women eat low carb, Kate, like even without realizing it? I think some, like I find with women, you know, like they'll come into our program and say, oh, but I really thought that I was eating healthy, Kitty. You know, I thought I was doing the right thing. And I get it because I did the same thing years and years ago, like really low carb. I was trying to be skinny too. But thinking I was being really healthy, cutting out sugar and fruit and dairy. And then, you know, because you're following all this mainstream advice, which is so polarizing, I think, and especially when you're trying to lose weight. And then when we actually do a deep dive into their nutrition, like my sister is a perfect example. I know, you know, I've been sharing with you and everyone that she had got breast cancer. And her life was just one fucking huge stress ball. Like she would eat 900 calories a day. Like I got her to track her food once, 75 grams of protein. She would drink on the weekend. She would get up and just smash herself with cardio, high intensity cardio for like half an hour. No weight training. She didn't get any sun. Her job was very stressful too. So like well-paid job, long hours, not enough sleep. And just all of those combination of those things, and even some sort of emotional stuff. Like she worked with my friend and coach Greta, and worked on a lot of those, worked through that stuff as well. So it's really interesting. Like she has not only worked on the food, like with me and making sure she, and she's really aware now too. Like she knows, she's like, I know that I underate yesterday and I can really notice it. So I've made sure I've had some more carbs today. Like she's really, she takes the liver and oyster capsules. She has collagen, but then she's also reduced these other stress. So she has taken time off her work completely. And when she goes back, she's only going to work 9 till 2. Like she said, I don't care about chasing that big money anymore, because she's a property valuer, a commercial property valuer. So they work, like the more they work, the more jobs they do, the more money they can earn. But she's like, sure. Obviously, I think cancer is probably the worst thing that you could get to make you reassess your life. But she's, you know, I just am not good. I don't, you know, push myself so much anymore. I don't do all that crazy cardio. Yeah, she just does some cardio, but more low intensity. You know, so she's made all of these changes along with the food, and it's amazing too. Like she, because she tracks her recovery on her Whoop, she got a Whoop, and just how much better her recovery is now, and her HRV is now that she's implemented all of these things. It's quite incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it always comes to back is finding that homeostatic place for you. And if you've been driving yourself into, you know, everything is like this. So to get this back up, you can either take stuff off here or you got to support it, right? And you do both to get to that place. And honestly, when you feel start better, you might be down here, right? So you can feel better, but your body maybe can't handle much. Right, like she's like, look, I need to take load off of me right now because I need to give my body time to heal. But as you become more resilient and you keep supporting yourself, then you kind of raise it everything up, and now you are able to handle more of the stressors, right? You can tag a bunch of them on, you can go do the heavy lifting, you can go do all these things, and you actually get benefit from them because now you're able to recover from them. So you continue to a point where you can sometimes, you know, people can live a slightly crazy life. But because they have so much good stuff support going on this side, because I think some people think that, oh, well, you're just, you know, take all the stress off and,
I think what, like, it's like that, but it's chronic stress. Like Rachel was working this job where she's fucking sleeping 5 hours 100%. A night. You know, like that, you can't keep doing that shit even when you're eating enough food. You know, it's like you say, like life is going to be stressful. Like you should be able to handle stress and you can build your resilience. But then there's like some things I think sometimes you have to change parts of your life.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, and like I said, and like trying to like get back into like just the thyroid part of it, right? Because I think so many women do think that that's part of their issue, and they could be correct, right? There's because there's so many things that can kind of interfere with that, because your thyroid is part of your energy production equation, right? You need food, you need nutrients, yeah, you need oxygen, and you need thyroid. Right. And thyroid's the thing that's basically telling it all to speed up. And without that dial going, you can feel sluggish. Right. But quite honestly, it's all the other components that are really maybe affecting the thyroid. Now, again, you might actually have a thyroid production issue, but for the most part, it's all affecting. And so you need all those components to kind of pull yourself up. But I think kind of going off the tangent, I know we talked about this when we were talking off air or whatever when we were meandering for our 2 hours prior to this conversation,
which we always do.
I'm like, it's midnight
and we've got no time to record the podcast.
But you know, when we look at like women who are going through like perimenopause or even menopause, right, and what do we see? And certainly right now the menopausal hormonal therapy is kind of making a return into women, and rightfully so. A lot of women feel much better on it, and again, I'm not here to say it's good or bad. I think that there's other factors in play. And certainly what you see with a lot of women, and what I would invite a lot of women to do if they're on hormonal replacement therapy, especially estrogen therapy, is to actually take your body temperature and your pulse. Take your body temperature. One of the things that estrogen will do is it can lower body temperature. So we see that women that get on these therapies, certainly if they're not taking the progesterone, they're the body temperature is lower. Progesterone can help you warm up, but one of the things that it does is that estrogen can inhibit thyroid production, and it can also inhibit thyroid conversion. And so a lot of women actually will kind of become a little bit more hypothyroid, and that lowers their energy demand. So in a sense, it does make them feel better. But also sometimes what you see with women who are on it longer term, they might have a little bit of a weight gain eventually, but their temperature starts to drop. So we have to kind of ask the question, what is happening here? Because from our perspective, right, thyroid hormone is very thermogenic, and it should actually, and a lot of people, you know, if you ever get on the thyroid hormone, one of the things that you should do is take your temperature and pulse, because it should increase. If it's working appropriately, it's going to make you warmer. And if it's not, then there might be something else going on. But we have to think about how all these other hormones interact with it. And we do look at how estrogen interacts with thyroid. Yeah, it does affect it. It can inhibit conversion and production. And that's why you see that far more women are hypothyroid than men, right? So we were like, well, why is that? Well, they certainly have more estrogen production, right? Certainly in their birthing years, you know, they have ovarian production, and certainly postmenopausal, peripheral estrogen is still being produced. You know, you still will produce some in your adrenals and even some in your ovaries, just not very much. Not that you're really going to be having it measurable that much in your blood, but you are still producing it. You just don't, it's just in your periphery tissue, but it can still affect how your thyroid conversion is being affected. But certainly if a woman decides to get on, you know, hormonal therapies and there is estrogen in there, it can affect this process. So it's just something to kind of consider and think about. Because obviously you're on these hormonal, you know, the main reason women are getting on these hormone replacement therapies is, well, the main reason they should be prescribed is because they're having hot flashes. And if you have a lot of hot flashes, and, you know, obviously you might have mood swings or sleep issues, and they all, I think they can all interfere and kind of interrelate with each other. And then, and if all of a sudden you get on a medication and it alleviates those, and now you're sleeping better and you don't want to kill your husband or your partner, whoever that is, then yeah, that you are going to get a benefit from that effect, and you are going to feel better, and you could get very well get a better health outcome. Because if you aren't sleeping, whether you need that thing or not, but if it's all of a sudden making you sleep better, just better sleep in general is going to give you a better health outcome. You know, it's not to say that you are, you know, you needed this specific thing. You know, you might get a better health outcome getting on a sleep aid that now you're sleeping, just because not sleeping has really bad health outcomes. And so I went on this tangent, but I just wanted to present, because obviously you're talking to a lot of women that may go on the hormone replacement therapy, thinking about hormone replacement therapy. It's very big in the conversation right now. And it's just something to think about. It instead of maybe going there first, can you support thyroid function and energy production first and see if that has an improvement in your symptoms? And 99% of the time, in my opinion and my history, it does. And then they don't need to get on these hormone replacement therapies.
And we've seen it too in our program all the time, you know, when they, like you say, do all the things that we talk about, eating adequate calories, getting enough protein, sunlight, lowering stress, you know, eating enough carbohydrates, and then sometimes supplementing with progesterone as well. Like, I've seen that work too, but making sure they're doing all the basics and supporting their body, and then, you know, putting that in. I've just seen women get incredible results too. Yeah.
I mean, it all does work. And I think when you can get into the weeds and start talking about, like, look, you can just say, look, eat these foods. Right? I mean, it can be quite basic. But the reason you're eating these foods, you're eating the oysters, you're eating the liver, you're consuming the dairy. The reason you're eating those is not just because, you know, maybe they come from a grass-fed animal or whatever. The reason you're eating them is because they have vital nutrients that are needed within your cells. They're needed to have your thyroid function. They're needed for all of these functions. Then if you all of a sudden start giving them in this bioavailable source on a regular basis, things will start, like the little worker bees, as I call them, I call like the nutrients, like the little workers that are helping you produce energy are now present, right? And I always give the example, like if you have this conveyor line and you have workers at each little station, and they have to change the product just a little bit so that it goes to the next, so that at the very end, you're producing your end product or you're producing the energy. But if you have missing workers, which they're usually certain enzymes are needing nutrients to work, then the whole thing gets backed up. where it stops because we can't do what we need to do, right? And that's your cells not producing enough energy. When you don't produce enough energy, then your body can't run appropriately, right? Because it's the energy you're producing. And so, and that means everything, right? And then that means your thyroid hormone isn't going to work properly. So that's going to even slow the process up. And so everything is just going to run at a lag. And when you're running like that, which we could look at it and say, well, that looks like hypothyroidism. I could look at a lot of different things, right? And when you're looking at energy production, there's so many different illnesses that all have very similar symptoms. Whether you're anemic, whether you're hypothyroid, whether you have chronic fatigue, whether anything, even like Lyme disease, like there's all of it is an energy production issue. And is it driven by there's lack of nutrients? Is it driven by you have poor absorption? Is it driven by you have an energy block system going on and that you can't produce energy ample? It could be a multitude of things, but it all comes down to there's an energy production issue going on and we need to figure out why. We can diagnose this at all these different things, but there's something missing and it's not allowing your system to produce energy effectively. That's all anemia is. Anemia is you don't have enough oxygen. Right? Why don't you have enough oxygen? Maybe it's iron, maybe it's B12, maybe it's folate, but you need oxygen at the end to keep the energy production system working. So that's going to inhibit energy production, right? But it's anemia, but it's an energy issue, right? So what is hypothyroid? Well, if you don't have enough thyroid, you're going to have an energy production issue. That's going to slow up the whole system again. You don't have enough food, you're going to have energy production in you. It's coming all into the same thing. We can like say it's a list load of different things, but it's all anyone that's having these issues of fatigue or, you know, again, what are women going through when they go into perimenopause or then menopause? They all start to feel tired. I feel like I can't produce energy anymore. Yeah. Now I'm gaining weight, right? And now my body, you know, my muscle tissue is breaking down, right? Is that just random for perimenopause? No. There's a energy production, high stress situation going on in your body and it's becoming catabolic. And you're also in this adaptive mode where your body isn't able to produce energy to function optimally.
And since we're just on the topic, quickly, before we finish up, because we've got 15 minutes, can you just quickly talk about some of the potential, perhaps, side effects of or dangers of just taking estrogen?
That is a that was like, well... Estrogen in itself, I mean, definitely has different side effects, right? And again, there a lot of this is probably the dose makes the poison, right? So I think in today's world, most estrogen therapies are usually transdermal. Some women still take oral. But what we see if like with oral estrogen or a higher degree, there's things like blood clotting, there's increases in stroke. Estrogen itself can have an effect on your actual vessel or in your arteries and vessels, and then it can weaken them. So I know there's certainly a camp of people that will say people that are taking estrogen therapy have better health outcomes. They have better bone density. They have better, you know, less dementia. They have less chances of heart disease, right? Because they're coming up with a lot. There's a lot of observational studies going on right now with estrogen therapy. And what that essentially means is they're looking at data and they're looking at women who are taking like estrogen therapies and what are their health outcomes, right? We're not controlling anything. We're just basically looking at are women that are taking these hormones doing better? Are they getting better health outcomes? And what they find is they are. And so that's certainly part of the conversation is they are getting better health outcomes. Now, do we know if it's that therapy? We don't because we haven't controlled it. Because what we can go is, well, maybe women who are on estrogen therapy also are exercising. Maybe they're also eating better. Maybe they're also doing these other things because they tend, people that are taking these therapy usually are in a higher bracket of wealth. Right? They're a little bit more educated. They know to ask for this with their doctors. They know, you know, whatever. So they also might doing other, but they might be doing other things that could also produce that outcome. And, the, you know, if you do have a lot of hot flashes and you take something like an estrogen therapy or menopausal hormone therapy and those improve, and that was keeping you up at night and that was keeping you agitated all day, and now your quality of life has improved. Yes, that quality of life will probably allow you to have a better health outcome. So it's hard to kind of say, right? But it doesn't inherently mean it was because we fit and fixed this deficiency of estrogen that you needed. It was just that it did take a symptom away, and the removal of that symptom is make your quality of life better. And that in itself. Now, there could be other things that will also remove that symptom, like reducing stress and eating more nutritious and making sure you do resistance training. Like all those can also produce that same health outcome without putting in an exogenous hormone in your body, right? Because estrogen can act, as they say, it can act a little bit like cocaine in your brain. So it can be quite excitatory. So for if they're just testing like cognition and are they able to pick things up quicker, like women that are on estrogen therapy, they can be because it has it kind of can make that excitatory, and they can think, and just like adrenaline can do that on some level, right? It's heightened. And so do we have good data that shows that women are on estrogen therapy have less dementia? No. We should ask the question, why do women have like 66 or something percent of the cases of dementia are women? Why is that? Why do women have such a greater chance of having dementia as they age? So one thought is, what is it because they have estrogen, right? Maybe that's the reason why, because that is one variable that they do have a lot more of. Well, one theory is maybe they just live a little longer, so that's a greater chance of getting ill and disease. So, but estrogen in and of itself, when we just look at what it can do in like a petri dish and so forth, yeah, I mean it certainly can have an effect on your blood clotting, which can lead to, like I said, heart issues, stroke. We know that, right? We know that that is a true statement. How much and what degree, that's questionable, right? And they've certainly found in the tests that I've seen that transdermal doesn't seem to uptick that as much. But we don't have great randomized controlled trials on these on transdermal to see the long-term effects. And so we don't know, right? It's we're all kind of everyone's kind of getting on the bandwagon again. We just don't know. In my thought, looking at kind of what it can do, I mean, estrogen in your body, we definitely know, like, someone that gets on estrogen therapy and doesn't take progesterone and they have a uterus, they're going to certainly have greater chances of ovarian or uterine cancer because it's going to be telling those tissues to multiply and grow. And you don't have the protection of the progesterone in that. So we definitely know that that does occur. And that's why women who have a uterus don't ever get prescribed estrogen-only therapy, only those that do not have a uterus. And so we can't just completely disregard this information because it can have an effect. And is there other variables? Sure. Is the dose important? Probably. Is if you take it with progesterone helpful? Probably. If you're doing all the other healthy things and that kind of makes you feel better, do we know if it's what of a greater chance, but if it increases your quality of life now and you feel so much better now, is it, and you're not going to do the other things, or you don't have time, you don't have the resources, is it a plus to that? Very possibly. I think we can't tell women that this is horrible. We need to give them all the options and lay them out there and be honest and be like, yeah, if you want to do it without that, there is a way. And certainly from my experience, if you don't, I would say, well, that could be an option. There maybe is some possible consequences. Maybe we're trying to do a lot more studies with women right now because we need them. But quality of life is really important. And so I try not to poo-poo anything these days because I think we need to be given all the options and allowed to not feel shame of any of them and go, look, sometimes this is the route you got to go. But could it have a consequence? Possibly, right? And we still want to support the system because, as I said, estrogen in itself, when you get on estrogen therapies, it can suppress thyroid conversion and production. So we have to keep that in mind.
Awesome. Well, we're nearly out of time, Kate. That was perfect ending to the podcast. And so, as always, take a screenshot of the episode and share it on Instagram stories and tag me at KITTYBLOMFIELD. And you can tag Kate at Kate Deering Fitness. That's your Instagram handle, hey?
It is.
Yeah. tag her as well, and you can go into the draw to win a tub of Saturay Premium Collagen. And go and get Kate's book if you haven't read it already. And super excited for the next one to come out. Hurry up and bloody finish it, would you?
I know, right?
It's coming. Every time I talk to you, I'm like,
it'll be good. It'll be good.
How's this bloody
book
going, Kate? Is it finished? Come on.
Yeah, every time she asks me, I'm like, don't ask me.
Is it finished yet? Is it finished yet? Yeah.
I know. I don't know.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, thanks so much, Kate. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and I'll be back again next week.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.